So, growing up, I had a great privilege in playing one of the greatest sports that's been played on this planet, and it's baseball. And don't worry, I'm praying for those who think it's a boring game. Soon you guys will see the light. But I love the game of baseball. And what I love about it is that each member of the team has a specific role and a vital role. And each team member and on the team has a specific gift, and those gifts place them in each position. You see, you place the guys with the speed in the outfield, guys with the stronger arms in the outfield. You place the most people that are the most agile in the infield because they have to have quick reactions. And your third baseman is your infielder that has the most agility and yet has also the strongest arm on the team. And then you have a shortstop who's another just a vital role on the team and is probably one of your most athletic persons on the team. And then you have the second baseman, who is just as agile, who tends to have a weaker arm than the shortstop and the third baseman. Then you have the first baseman. First baseman is usually just a power hitter. So sorry for anyone who played first base, but. And then you have the catcher, who needs to be agile, quick to his feet, willing to take balls to the chest and to the face, and have a strong arm. And then you have the pitcher who needs to be able to throw multiple pitches for strikes. See, every member on the team has a vital role. There isn't one part of the team that is more important than the other. And even when the ball comes into play, a lot of people watch the ball and they don't really focus on what the other teammates are doing. Each teammate is in movement and backing up other players and possibility of knowing where that ball is going to go, where the depending on where the runners are and where they're going. It's everyone is moving and anticipating, and you have to know where the ball is going to go. You have to know your teammates. You have to be in the same mindset as them. See, there's this collective team effort in this game. It's not a one-man show. One man, you can have one man that's completely talented, has like all the talent, but he can only do so much. You need a team. Even when you're hitting, you get base hits, you get guys that are bunt, that are fast, and they get on base, and you need guys to be able to hit you in. See, you're completely and utterly reliant on your team members. You can't do it on your own. And you see, the church is something that's like that. You see, we can't do anything on our own. There's not one person in the church that can do the work of God. Each believer in Christ is important to the body of Christ. So read with me Romans 12, 3 through 8 once more, and it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." So this morning we're going to look at three different questions, and those three different questions are: what does it mean that we are members of one another in the body of Christ? How are we to live as members of one another in Christ and be humble with those gifts? And so, what does it mean to be a member in the body of Christ? What does it mean to be a member of one another? Well, the Greek word is melos. And yes, the baseball illustration is a somewhat decent illustration, but the Greek word goes deeper than that. You see, the Greek word, which is defined as, in those times, was different parts of a working ship for war. You see, each part was of great importance in the activity for the purpose of staying afloat and fighting. Also, another way that it was used was to describe a body part belonging to the whole body. If we look at Matthew 5:29, and we see these words in other places in the Bible, it says, one of the parts of your body. In verse 30, if you lose one of the parts of your body, that parts of the body of your body is melos, the same term that is being used for members of one another. And in Romans 6:13, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin. So it's more connected than we can even fathom, than we can even think of. And I was talking to Pastor Jim about this, I think it was Friday. He came in, he's like, he asked me how things are going. I was like, I'm trying to find a good way to define this word to which we can really understand it, because the Greek language just goes so much deeper than the English language. It's a collective unit that Paul is describing, one that works completely and entirely together. There's not one part that's just working. It's everything in motion together. And so we see that in the body of Christ, and we see how God has designed us. And this is what it means. It means that we are all important, that each believer in Christ is important to the body of Christ. Paul further elaborates in 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Ephesians 4:1-8, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. You see, no matter our ethnicity, no matter our culture, no matter our background, no matter where we come from, no matter what our past is, in Christ, we are a new creation. And in that new creation, we are a part of something greater than we can fathom. We are part of the body of Christ. Amen. One of the things I've been so blessed to do, and you know, as someone going into ministry, you know, you never really think you're going to go to travel far off places or to do these things, because that's not really usually in the sights of, like, as far as being affordable. You don't think of going on cruises and all these things, but God has blessed me in allowing me to travel to different parts of the world. I've been to Ecuador. I've been to Belize. I've been to Mexico. And each place I've been, it's all been an amazing experience, because we're all with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we all worship the same God, and we all are striving for the same purpose and the same goal, and that's to make Jesus known to the non-believers of the world. You see, though there are language barriers, we have translators. And even through those translators, and through translators, we have great conversations with people that, you know, without them, we would never really been able to communicate with one another. But that's really not important. You see, I've gone to multiple services where language of the sermons have been taught in multiple languages where there wasn't really necessarily a translator. And I can understand some Spanish words here and there, and so I can get the gist of what the pastor is saying. But the most important thing is that we are one in the spirit and in the body of Christ and have the same goal and the same purpose and the same drive, and that we care for one another. Last weekend, we talked about living in harmony with one another. And we see that when we forget about our culture, when we forget about our background, and we forget about where we came from, and where our past identity as an individual from, okay, San Diego, or a past identity in an individual from Africa, or from Western Europe, Eastern Europe, wherever it may be, with our identity in Christ, we are finding our purpose. And that's where we find our harmony, and that's our unity. And we welcome one another, we feed one another, and we house one another, we give people beds to sleep in, all that. Because we are members of one another. So, moving on to the next point. Now, how do we live as members of one another in Christ? And we talked about culture and our past experiences and history or whatever it may be. But when we're born again in Christ, our identity isn't in where we came from or what we do. Our identity is in Christ and in his body, and we are called to minister and make disciples of all nations and to spread the gospel. You see, we see this battle of culture colliding with Christianity even now. We see it with same-sex marriages. We see it with abortion. We see it with, you know, variety of things. And I don't really want to go there because I know they can be touchy subjects. But as I said last week, sometimes we have to put aside what we think is right and look to what the scriptures and see what they say and live by what they say rather than what we feel is right. See, God is perfect, and his word is perfect. Amen. For instruction, for teaching in righteousness, for rebuking, and for encouraging. So how do we live as members of one another in Christ? Well, we do not sin against one another. This last Friday, we talked about not slandering one another in youth group. And it's heartbreaking to hear of churches that go through such splits. Remember, I was going through a Christian counseling class in my undergrad, and my seminary professor, who greatly respected, was an interim pastor, and his job was to go to these splits, these church splits, and basically try to reconcile everyone. And he was telling us, and he wouldn't give us purposely the name of the church because it's really none of our business, but he was describing how bad the split was that someone that left the church made a website about the church, slandering everything about the pastor, everything about his family, everything about the believers there, and just went at it. As members of one another, we are not to do that. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Paul then goes on to say, basically, do not sin against one another. Then in 5:1, he says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And as I've been studying, and like studying for last week's sermon and studying for this week's sermon, and we're going through the study of one another's, and I'm finding that there's a common theme throughout all of these, and it's to love one another, to live in harmony with one another, and to not give up on one another, but to show grace, to show mercy, and to forgive. We are to be imitators of God as his children, and to remember how he humbled himself. As members of one another, we are to encourage, serve, and edify one another with spiritual gifts. Each one of us in here, young, more seasoned, we all have spiritual gifts to bring to the church for the edification of the church. Edification meaning growth, more, to become more holy, to be more like Christ. That's what our gifts are for. And in Romans 12, 5 through 8, it says, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." Let us use them. So, we have people that use them. And we have, sometimes there's people that feel like they're not worthy to have any part in ministry. And if you're thinking that, that is a lie from the pit of hell. You have value as a member of this body. You have a gift. You know, it's so funny because I went snowboarding one time with my dad and brothers at Big Bear Mountain, or Snow Summit, and so we went, and we got there, we go to the rental shop, and I'm debating on, should I get the skis or should I get the snowboard? I know how to ski, I've skied before, but I've surfed and I skate and I've wakeboarded, so I should be able to snowboard. So I was like, all right, I'll go with the snowboard. And my older brother, Derek, said, I'll show you some pointers. I've done it multiple times. Don't worry, I'll teach you everything. So we go to get everything ready, get all set, get our boards, and we go on to the lift. We go do multiple runs down the bunny hill. And then, you know, I'm starting to get the hang of it. I'm starting to get the turning. I'm starting getting the stopping. And after falling on my rear multiple times, everything's starting to come together. I was like, okay, I think I got a hang of this. I'll just go slow. I'll take my time. I'll just be safe. It'll be good. So we all agree, let's go to the top of the mountain. So we all go up to the top of the mountain, and you know, we do a couple of runs here and there, having success. And at this point of the trip, I'm just like, I am so tired of falling on my posterior. It is really starting to hurt and to get annoying. And so we go up on a chairlift, and me and my older brother are like, hey, let's do this one. We haven't done this one. And so we go down. I'm going slow, taking my time, still getting the hang of everything, still falling on my rear end. And we come to this last part of the slope, and I'm standing at the top, and I was like, okay, this is steep. I'm tired of falling on my bottom. I'm trying to use more appropriate terms. I'm sitting there and I'm standing there, and I'm just like, okay, there's two options. I could continue to go slow, take my time, go at my skill level, and take the chances of falling again and again. Or I've gotten pretty good at stopping. It's only about 50 yards downhill, like pretty steep. I could just bomb it and then stop at the bottom. Like, I think I'm good. I think I can do that. So I come to the conclusion that, yes, this will be good. I'll bomb the hill. So if any of you guys don't know what bombing the hill means, it means just going straight down the hill, like no turning, no signs of stopping, no slowing down. And so I go and I'm just going down, picking up more and more speed. I'm close to the bottom of the end of the hill. Everything's looking good. And I go to stop and I hit a patch of ice and I land on my shoulder. I got up and immediately knew something was wrong. So I get on a chairlift, limp to my brother. I say, hey, look, I think something's wrong. He's like, okay, let's get to the chairlift. Let's go see the medic. And so we get to the medic, and on the way, it's funny because on the chairlift up, I see a girl falling, and she says, I hate snowboarding. And in my mind, I'm like, not as much as me right now. And so we get there, and he does all these tests with me, wraps me up, puts ice on my shoulder, and I get the sled of shame going down the hill. And so it all works out, and I go to the emergency room, and turns out I have an AC separation. And I wrote it down because I still don't really know how to... Acroclavicle separation? So something like that. Wasn't a full-on dislocation, but I was stuck in a sling for 6 weeks. And for me, that is something that is very hard to do because I was also going through class at the same time, and it was my right shoulder, so I was writing. But why use that illustration? Well, because if we're a believer and a member of the body of Christ, we're handicapping the church if you're not using your gift. You're giving the church a handicap. You're putting the church in a sling. You see, God gave us these gifts to help one another, to be that member of one another. I mean, it's like saying, like, the foot saying, like, I'm not really worthy to be part of this body, so I'm not going to be usable. And then you try and go walking, or you try and go doing other things. It's not going to work. So I want to use this as an encouragement. Get involved. And, you know, I was listening, there's so many different ways that people use to say, well, this is my spiritual gift, this is my diagnosis. I mean, it's not really a diagnosis, but it's kind of like, this is my gift. I think this is what I have. I think that's what I have. And I have that too. Don't worry about that. I was listening to John Piper earlier this week, and he said, don't worry about the specific gifts that you might have. Get involved and encourage other believers, and that's when your gifts will come, like, will flourish. Because if you're good at encouraging people, then, I mean, that's what we're all called to do. But, I mean, if someone says that that's their gift and they only limit to themselves to that gift and aren't doing something else, then it's like you don't know. You're holding back. Like, if that's the only gift that you think you have, then you're not using everything that God's given you. So don't worry about the spiritual gifts that you have. You have them, and they're made to encourage and edify the church. You know, another thing is to be humble with these gifts. To be humble. I see authors and pastors that speak to their congregations. They have multiple people in their church, thousands of people, twenty books. They have books written, published, and people elevate them, and they look up to them and have them become their idol. And we have to be careful not to do that. And I explained the reasons why last week, and if you weren't there last week, it's because they're human too. They sin too. You know, we have to be careful with pride. Not just us as pastors or youth pastors or as elders, as deacons, as deaconesses, or as, you know, Sunday school teachers, or whatever area in ministry you serve in, we have to be careful not to be prideful. Because we really have no excuse to be prideful. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." It's by grace we've been saved. See, everything comes back to the gospel. As members of one another, we recognize that we've been saved by grace and that we are part of this because of grace. And so if pride ever seeps in, you go back to the gospel of Jesus Christ, who says, "No, I died for you. I gave you life. I loved you first." It wasn't the other way around. There was nothing that you could have done. And I see it as like this. I see it as someone doing those color-coordinated coloring books, you know what I mean? Where there's like the numbers in the pictures that show you what color to color in that picture. Have you guys seen those? You know what I'm talking about? It's like coloring that in and saying, "Look what I did." When you didn't designate what colors go where, you didn't draw the picture. It wasn't your idea. You didn't think of whatever that picture was. You were told what to do. And in the same way, it's kind of how we are. And so we have no room to be prideful. You know, it's by grace that I'm up here. It's by grace that we're all here. Man. It isn't because we deserve it. And so I think, and I just sat back in my chair as I was doing this study this week. I was like, "Wow, God, you're so awesome. Not only do you reach out to us, not only do you die for us, not only do you save us from the pits of hell and your wrath, but you give us your Spirit to guide us in ways so that we do not sin. And not only that, but you bring us into this family of God where we are members of one another, where we encourage, we exhort, we rebuke, we love on, we forgive, we give grace, we belong, where we belong. This is our identity. Our identity is in Christ and in his body. And it is because of grace. There's nothing we've done. And you go going back to the team sports. You know, I remember striking out. I remember I was a catcher. I remember letting balls get past me. I remember making errors. And as a team, you pick one another up. What good is it to blame that other person? What good is it to, "Oh, thanks a lot, man. You just let two runs score it." Can you imagine what that feels like? But no, the teammates would pick you up. They're like, "Hey, don't worry about it. You'll get it next time." Coaches would say, "Hey, it's okay. It's just a game. We'll work on that." I remember I was pitching my senior year, and I threw a hanging curveball, and it just got roped, meaning it got whacked. It got smacked. It was not staying in the ballpark. And I finally got out of that inning. And I'll never forget this in this moment. And this, my coach comes up next to me, puts his arm around me. He's obviously, I'm upset because we were winning and I just gave up the lead run. He says, "Hey, man, don't worry about it. Jesus still loves you." And so I see that as members of one another, we take care of one another. We have a role to play. It's important. Every one of us matters in the body of Christ. There's no one that's more important than the other. Doesn't matter age. Doesn't matter experience. We all need one another. We all need each other's love and support in this life, because this life, it's not easy. It definitely is not easy. And I don't see it getting any easier. I mean, I just think of all the believers, our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka. I think of our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, the ones that lost their loved ones. And I just think, man, I don't know how they do it. But then I remembered, I know how they do it, because they have a body of Christ that loves them, who prays for them, who supports them, who encourages them. And so, I think that it's so important to know these things, that you matter. You have a purpose. God has you here for a purpose and a reason. It isn't a mistake. There's a whole overarching plan that he has for each and every one of us that we don't really know or see. And we're just here to go along with it. I love that meme that I see where it says, knowing it's God's plan, but you're still kind of scared, and it's a kid going down the slide, like, really, like, terrified. That's how it feels sometimes. You know? But God's got us, and we have a family that we belong to. So, and I just want to reiterate that if you really don't think that you're worthy, or if you don't think you're good enough, you're right. None of us are worthy or good enough to be a part of this body of Christ. But we are. Amen? Amen? We are. We've been saved. We've been redeemed. But if you think that, I just really want to encourage you. Look at the examples that God has used in the past. Moses, a murderer. Paul, a murderer. You know? St. Augustine struggled with lust. All these guys, everyone has a history, everyone has a past. And if you think that God can't use you, you're wrong. God can use you. So, what does it mean that we are members of one another in the body of Christ? It means that we are literally, we belong to one another. We are part of one another. And we have responsibility to one another. Each believer in Christ is important to the body of Christ. How are we to live as members of one another? We are to love one another, strive and make peace, be humble, forgive, mercy. I know I sound like a broken record, but this is what it means. We encourage, we serve, we edify with our spiritual gifts that we've been given. And lastly, we are to be humble. Humble in knowing that God is good and he saved us and he brought us into this family, because it was his love and his grace that brought us here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this family that we don't deserve, but we have. God, you are just so good to us. You love us so much. And to know that you can use us for your glory and for your kingdom is an amazing thing. God, if we have any doubts, may you remove those doubts. But may your Spirit be stirred up in us so much that we can't ignore it, that we must do something about it, whatever you're calling us to. Lord, may we not worry on the specific gifts that we've been given, but may we just strive to be there for one another, to support one another. God, we love you, Lord, and we praise you for everything that you have done for us, and the things that you will do for us, and the things that you have for us in the future, and how you will use us, Lord. We praise you and we love you for that, God. So God, I just pray as we close that we remember that each and every one of us matters to the body of Christ. Each every one of us has a role in the body of Christ. Praise things in your holy name. Amen.